Hi everybody, this is Deanna Nagel and I am faculty at the Institute for Life Coach Training, and today we're going to talk about encryption and email. Not exactly a what I would call a passionate, sexy topic, but one that is important. So I'm going to give you some basic information for about 10 minutes, and then a couple of people sent in some questions that I'm going to answer, and then I'm going to open the line for Q&A. And for starters, I will give a little bit of background. I am formerly a licensed counselor, psychotherapist. I was a psychotherapist for 20 years. And one of my topics of interest and research was online therapy. So for about 15 years, I conducted and taught online therapy, topic very near and dear to me. And now I teach online coaching. So I have a course at ILCT, Introduction to Online Coaching. So if you find this topic of use and you want a little more in-depth look at it, that might be a course you would consider. And now I am a practicing wellness coach, almost exclusively coaching, and I do some energy healing and aromatherapy. But I still work online, and encryption is something that I find is necessary and important. So hopefully I'll be able to explain that, my reasons behind that. So first of all, let's talk about what encryption is. And in real simple terms, what encryption is or does is scramble your message so that it's very difficult for it to be deciphered. It's sort of like code language. So when you scramble your message and you send it to somebody else, the person on the other end needs to have some sort of key to unlock the message. And that usually means that you're using a system whereby they have a password and they can access, or you're using a system that both of you have the same type of encrypted email, so your messages go back and forth encrypted. Or it means you're signing on to a platform and all of the information that's sent back and forth on that platform is encrypted. So the way to describe that is, a platform would be like the Skype platform, or if any of you have taken my online classes, I use a platform called Jigsaw Box. And so when you log into Jigsaw Box, everything we say to each other within Jigsaw Box is encrypted. So think of that as going into a house, and the door's locked, the windows are locked, there's a security system, and everything that's said within that house stays in the house. The difference between a program or a platform like Jigsaw Box or another coaching platform that you log into and something that's not encrypted, even though it may be somewhat encrypted, is Facebook. So when you go into Facebook, think of yourself being in a house with the doors open, the windows open, there's no locks, there's no security. Now, Facebook does have security, but it's not the kind of security we would want to rely on in terms of keeping people's private information private and confidential. So that's one example. You're in the same house and you're talking to each other, and it's either secure or it's not. Another example is you send a postcard to somebody through the mail, and everybody can read the postcard from your mailbox to theirs. So everybody that handles that postcard can see it. That's similar to Gmail. Gmail to Gmail, or Yahoo to Gmail, or Yahoo to Yahoo, Hotmail. That is not encrypted email. So you're basically sending a postcard. Now, chances are nobody cares about reading the postcard, so nobody's really paying attention. But it's not secure. It's not like sending a letter with a stamp on it, and there's a federal penalty for opening it. So those are some real simple ways of describing the difference between encryption and non-encryption. The reason we want to use encryption is not because coaches are mandated to do this. We are not. As therapists, however, I was mandated, and I, if I were to practice therapy now, I would still be mandated under the HIPAA high-tech law, which is a federal law, and that's to protect patient confidentiality, and it's called PHI, patient health information. So as a therapist, I can't send anything via unencrypted measures if it has any identifying information of that patient, like maybe a social security number or any diagnosis or anything that could be construed as patient medical information. So as a therapist, the only time I would use unencrypted email was to set appointment times or to change times or, you know, if we had a delay or I needed to just send some basic informative information. But even with that, if my tagline said Deanna Nagel, psychotherapist, Atlanta, Georgia, then anybody that saw that email would know that this was likely a patient-therapist relationship. So as a therapist, I was really, really careful about what I sent out via email and how I sent it. As a coach, we are not mandated by HIPAA. We don't have patient health information that we have to protect. If we decide to protect client information, it's because it's the ethical thing to do. And so, for example, even last week I received an appointment for a coaching session online or via phone, and he wanted to send me some background information. And so I told him to please send it via encryption, and I told him how to do that. Otherwise, he was going to send some very, very private confidential information to me via regular email channels. And, you know, that's something that a lot of people probably don't want to do. They just don't think about it. And we do it all the time with friends and family. We send information. But I want to be responsible to my client and let them know that if this is private information, that there are ways to protect that confidentially. If they choose not to, then you have done your due diligence. You've given them the opportunity to communicate with you in a different way. So then the question becomes, well, how do I do that? How do I set up a process that's simple for my clients and simple for me? The easiest, and I will send everybody, or Amy will send out a, when they send the recording out, she'll send a handout of all the links that I talk about and some other links I won't talk about, so that you have access to them. So don't worry about writing it down. But the easiest email system that I have used is hushmail.com. And Hushmail works much like any other email platform. It looks the same, feels the same. The difference is you can encrypt it. And so, and they have a free service, so people can set up a free email account. So if I'm doing any kind of long-term coaching or providing services on a regular basis with people, and it's not just a one-off, then I ask them if they're willing to set up a Hushmail account. And so then if they're sending something from their Hushmail to my Hushmail, and vice versa, it's all encrypted. Hushmail also has a system that you can put a form on your website, like a contact me form or tell me more about what you're needing form. It's just a blank space for people to type in, because if you have a website and you have one of those fill-in forms, contact me forms, and they fill in their name, address, and then there's a paragraph space for them to write, that's usually not encrypted. So it's going through unencrypted channels to get to you. But this form works very similarly, except it's encrypted and it lands in your Hushmail inbox. You can also use Hushmail in a way that allows you to email your client, and you've already previously set up a password, and usually I tell them, you know, it's your last name and an explanation point, or, you know, you can come up with something that's simple for both of you to remember. And when they get your email, they open it with the password you've previously discussed, and then they can reply, and it's encrypted. And so you can continue an email conversation in that way as well. There are other ways you can message one another, such as using a platform like Even something like GoToMeeting or Skype or any number of web service, video services, which also offer messaging and chat. I don't recommend using Google Hangout or Facebook Messenger or any of the other social media outlets because they're not built to be have that kind of confidence. So I've talked for about 10 minutes, and let me talk about the two questions I got already, and then we'll open it up for questions. Stephen asks, does a life coach need to meet the HIPAA requirements? How long do you have to retain emails? No. A life coach is not responsible to HIPAA. HIPAA is a healthcare federal law. It has nothing to do with any kind of coaching. However, caveat to that, if you are a wellness coach or a health coach working for a medical organization, you follow their rules. That would be a different story because you're working within a system that states this person is already a patient, a medical patient. But in general, private practice, no. Coaches are not responsible to HIPAA. Bonnie wants to know, I use an email service hosted by my webmaster, and the email server has a secure encrypted connection, but my coaching website is not encrypted. Okay, I don't know what that would mean. What I'm thinking that means is your server is encrypted, but when you send something out from your server, it's not encrypted because the other person would have to have, like I said, a key, so to speak, or a password to get in. So unless they're on the same system, it doesn't sound like the messages going back and forth are encrypted. Everything hosted on your server remains encrypted on the server. My coaching website is not encrypted. Can this be a problem? Your coaching website is not sending and receiving information unless, of course, you have a contact page. And if you have a contact page, that's why I said you can put a form on it, like a Hushmail form that is encrypted. Other than that, your website is usually informational, and you're not receiving information back and forth. Also, my email service is not large or well-known like Gmail or Hotmail. Does that make a difference? No, but again, you need to ask your webmaster whether emails are encrypted in transmission. See, that's different than things being encrypted that are left on the server. Okay, so we all remember the recent Hillary debacle with email. She had an encrypted server, which means everything that was on her server was encrypted, but not necessarily when she sent an email out from her server. Okay, that was the whole debate. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and open it up for questions or conversation if anybody has a comment or question.
Hey, Deanna, this is Amy.
Hi, I'm
going to unmute everybody.
Okay.
And if there are any lines with noise on them, I will handle those individually unless we have a lot of lines with noise. So if you do find yourself muted and you want to make a comment or ask a question, you can hit *6 to unmute yourself, just in case that happens. Okay?
Okay. Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Anybody have any questions or comments?
Yes, this is Bonnie.
Hi, Bonnie.
The one who sent the questions.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I have a coaching website. It's from coachingwebsites.com. That's where my website is. I have sent that question. I use an email service with them, but I have reasons to believe that it's possible my emails are being either intercepted or there may be a problem because I'm really not getting any communications. So, yes, I've heard of Hushmail and ProtonMail and Zandex and all these other services. I don't know which. I know you said you use Hushmail. My question about all these services, I know Hushmail had to turn over information a couple of years ago. I had done research on this, and they had to turn information over to the government, I think, in Canada, because I don't know, they had been requested to do so. I don't know which of the services that are paying are best. My question is, what do you think about companies like ProtonMail that have their servers, that's encrypted email, but their servers are overseas, which I think in Switzerland, which is supposed to offer more protection. How do you feel about those services? That's my question. And also, if you do decide to use Hushmail, are you better off with a paying account? Because I noticed they have on their website, you could have a free account or you could have a business account. So those are my two questions. Is Hushmail really the best? I was concerned that they had to turn over this information.
Well, if they turned over information, it was under court order. So it wouldn't matter what kind of email service it is. If it's under court order, they have to turn it over. So,
right. I don't know what the background is on that or what the reason was, but it involved, I think, everybody who had accounts. In other words, at that point, when that happened, it might have reduced the level of security. My question then is, how do you choose? I mean, is Hushmail really the best? Or what about Yandex or ProtonMail?
Okay, let me cut to the chase on it. I can't compare one to the other. It's just it's not within my scope. But I, on the handout that I'm going to give to Amy to send out, I will give you a website. It's a telemental health comparisons website, and they compare all of the encrypted options. And by telemental health, obviously it's for it's initiated for the use with mental health practitioners, but other practitioners can use it. So my guidepost for myself is if a platform is HIPAA compliant, meaning they are willing to sign for therapists and medical practitioners a business agreement under HIPAA, then I have done my due diligence. If it gets, you know, anybody can be hacked, anybody can have a service that, you know, has a loophole or has some sort of technology glitch, that can happen to any company. But the point I'm making is if we do our due diligence, then we're covered. We've done what we can. So because I was a mental health practitioner and I know Hushmail would give me a HIPAA Business Associate Agreement, then that was good enough for me. And I've used Hushmail for 15 years. So I feel good about Hushmail. Doesn't mean the others aren't good. It's just I know that Hushmail is easy. It's user-friendly. Their free service is if you don't access your account within 2 or 3 weeks, I can't remember, then everything is dropped off the server and you have to open a new account. So a paid account means that you retain everything on everything and it doesn't go away. So I've had my Hushmail account for 15 years. So I don't know. I hope I answered the question.
No, everything you said, that's very, very helpful. And
okay, good.
I appreciate that very much. I definitely will look into it. And one more question. When you say secure certificate, are you referring to that green shield where it says SSL? Because my current email service, it has some kind of encrypted symbol, but it's not the SSL symbol. It just looks like a lockbox when you put it in, when you enter my the company. I think it's hostedemail.com. I think that's the name of it. And that's where my website email is. And I'm concerned about it because I don't have to enter another key. In other words, one password and there's a second key.
Okay. I think I can explain it. When you go, if you have a Gmail account or a Yahoo account, any of the major players, when you log into your Gmail account, if you look up at the top, you'll see the key, the padlock. It's secure. But it's not secure in transmission, all right? So that means that when I have my Gmail open on my phone or on my laptop, it's secure. It means nobody can hack into that page, like if I'm sitting at a cafe.
Uh-huh.
But when I send an email from my Gmail, it is not secure via transmission. So it's only secure sitting on the static page and what I'm reading and what I'm clicking. It's not secure when I send it. The only way it's secure sent is if it, both parties have the same platform that is encrypted and they're sending back and forth like Hushmail to Hushmail, or you're all in the same house like Jigsaw Box. All right, so
when you send an email to a client who does not have Hushmail, what happens? They have to enter a special code in order
You have the option of clicking encrypted, and then they receive it, and they must type in a password to get in.
I see. Okay. Sounds good. I really appreciate your help on this and answering my question.
No problem.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else?
Hi. I have a question about Dropbox. Because I use that to share, to sort of collaborate on documents with clients. So, yes, please let us know what you know about Dropbox.
Dropbox is encrypted, but it's not HIPAA compliant. So I know healthcare professionals cannot use it. It's probably okay to use as you're using, but if you wanted to take it up a notch. Let me see. I would say, instead of me trying to search it, what I can do is find a service that would be similar that is...
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
That is... that would be more stealth. All right, so now what I'm looking at is Dropbox now supports HIPAA and high-tech.
Oh, okay, great.
Okay, but I think you probably have to have a business Dropbox account. I'm not sure.
Which I do, yep.
Okay, so I would just email Dropbox then since they've already taken it up a notch, so good for them.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right. Anybody else? There are no wrong questions because this is a complicated topic.
I have a question.
Okay.
Hi.
Hi.
I wondered about the notes I keep on my computer. So are we just today talking about email, or can we cover that as well?
I can talk about the notes you have on your computer. You can either encrypt a folder, or you can encrypt a thumb drive, flash drive. Let me see. Okay, the program that I am most familiar with, and it's on the
Hello.
List. I'm sorry?
That wasn't me.
Oh. It's called Cypherix. And it's a free encryption software. And so basically what you do is you download it onto your computer and you can actually, like, create a file so that all of your notes go in that file and it's encrypted. Or you can put all your notes on a flash drive and encrypt the flash drive, and it's free.
Would you mind spelling the name of the company?
C-Y, P as in Paul,
uh-huh.
H as in Harry, E, R, I, X.
Oh, that's logical. I just didn't hear it right. Oh, thank
that's
you.
That's okay. Sure. Anybody else have a question? Concern? Comment? Okay. I will be giving Amy a short little handout to send everybody. The next topic for next month is similar, but in some ways very different, and I'm going to be talking about coaching via phone and keeping those conversations secure. So I think that will be of interest to some people, since a lot of us who are coaches use the phone a lot, and we rely on our phones. So how can we do that in an ethical and safe manner for our clients? But I'm here if there are any other questions about email.
Thank you. I'll log off then.
Okay. Amy, I think we covered it.
Okay, I think you did. And
thank you, everybody, for being here. And hopefully we'll.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yes.
For all the valuable information.
Sure, and I hope you join us next month.
Will do.
All right.
Thank you, Deanna.
All right. Thanks, Amy.
Thank you, Deanna. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.